202, hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California and broadcasting from the renowned O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Very busy Tuesday. Nice to have you here. Coming up next hour, the head football coach at Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy. We already had the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. I've got telephone lines which are wide open nationwide. You know that number, 1-800-636-8686. More of those phone calls coming up momentarily, but we are joined right now, as promised, by a former NFL quarterback, a Super Bowl champion, second team all-conference at Kentucky, the career passing yardage leader at Kentucky, a member of the UK Athletics Hall of Fame. He also announced the Jared Lorenzen Project a few weeks back, which we will get into momentarily. We are joined by Jared Lorenzen. Jared, so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rum. How about yourself?
Jared, I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. Now, I mentioned you recently dropped a trailer for the Jared Lorenzen Project, which is a docuseries about your journey to lose weight. You're working on this with Anthony Holt. So how did the idea first come about?
I was working with I went to a screening for Antoine Walker. And Anthony did a project with Antoine Walker. And I think a lot of people, especially in Lexington, know Antoine's story. He was even featured, I think, on the 30 for 30, the broke one. And he got together and he said, hey, I want to do a project with you. And I said, well, heck yeah, man, you're Hollywood. Everybody says what everybody means in Hollywood. Sure. Came back about a year or two later, and Antoine and I were inducted to the UK Hall of Fame, the same class. And Anthony was there again. And he said, I really want to do something with you. Give me your number. So we started basically talking from there, and this is where we've gotten to so far. I mean, so it's been a while, but he's a Kentucky guy. You know, he's from Louisville, but that, you know, we don't let that hold him against him. And then we just started working this out.
Jared Lorenzen joining us. All right, so let's go back a little bit. You were 13 pounds 3 ounces at birth. You'd always been a big kid, and as you said in the trailer, your vegetables growing up were mac and cheese and potatoes. So what was life like for you growing up from a food standpoint?
That was it. I mean, it was, Dad was working second shift. Mom did whatever, best she could, and it was eating to whatever you wanted. I mean, it was, fish sticks and mac and cheese. It was Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes. It was, we didn't have a lot of money, so eating out was actually cheaper. So you went to McDonald's and you went to Burger King and it was just, pizza night. We didn't think anything of it.
Jared Lorenzen joining us. We're talking about the Jared Lorenzen Project, which was announced a few weeks back. So there was a period of time in your life, roughly 10 years from when you arrived at Kentucky through your NFL career, where you were stepping on scales all the time and constantly worrying about 0.2 or 0.4 of a pound. What was that time like and what kind of a stress or kind of stress did that put on you?
It's a living hell for anybody that's big, especially, when it's as well documented as I've been, literally living off 2 or 4, 6, 8 tenths of pounds. I was told I had to weigh 268 in order to try out for quarterback when Coach Morris got here. So I was 268.8. I had to make sure I was on that 268 number. It was, hey, I need you 275 in order for you to play football here in New York. If not, you're fined $400 per pound per day. So you start living like that, and it's literally every single day. It just wears on you. It absolutely fatigues the daylights out of you.
Jared Lorenzen joining us. So I would imagine you go through something like that, and then probably you don't want to get back on a scale. And then you go roughly 10 years without stepping on a scale, and then there's a moment in the trailer where you do step back on a scale. What were you expecting to see when you stepped on the scale that time?
I really didn't know. I did. I threw away every scale I've ever had for those 10 years because I was tired of living like that. All of a sudden I went through those 10 years, I went through a divorce. So you hit some spots, in your life there. And when I jumped back on that scale, all of a sudden it all kind of hit me at once. And I don't know if you can see it in my eyes, but they almost glaze over. Because I didn't realize it got to there. I was always big. I was always kind of buying a bigger shirt or buying a bigger pair of pants, but you never realize, oh my God, I'm at that number. that's the number I'm at, and then it just that's when it really kind of hit home.
So, Jared, what was that number, and then what was your reaction when you saw that number?
The number was 502, and that's when, if the on the Jared Lorenzen Project on Facebook, I even tell it, like, if I would have not woken up the next morning, I don't think people would have been like, I think they would have been upset. I mean, you know, I would have liked to have thought that. They would have been like, well, what does he expect? It's 500 pounds. You know, it's at some point, it's not funny anymore. And I'm always going to still joke about the weight. But when it gets to that point, you know, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jared, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to say that is one of the things that you say in the trailer, that if you don't wake up tomorrow, that people would be like, well, yeah, that's not a shock. What do you expect? Like, how big he is. Damn. But, I mean, that's not funny. What's it mean to you to say that and to feel that?
That was the biggest one for me. That's the line, I guess, that stuck out for me, because, you know, I've never gone in depth about my weight. I've always joked about it and pushed it off. But for that interview, it was very different for me. And it really was like, what are you doing with yourself? You know, I've got a 15-year-old daughter. I've got a soon-to-be 8-year-old son. You know, what are you doing? You know, you're being selfish right now. And luckily, that was taken about a year ago. I still don't do the scale thing yet. That'll be coming when we start the project. But I'm just thankful that I saw it before it got too late, and before any of the, you know, heart condition or liver or whatever it may be was irreversible.
We're talking to Jared Lorenzen.
So luckily, I found it before that point.
Sure, sure. And I'm going to talk to you about the people that are involved with this. But, you know, you touched on this. Like, for any athlete, the transition to life after sports can be really challenging, really difficult. What was it like for you when your NFL career ended?
You know, it wasn't bad at first. I thought I was okay. But when you're an athlete, that's all you see yourself as. Most athletes is, okay, now I'm done playing football. I'm 26, 27 years old. Oh, my God, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And you go through some deep, dark nights, you know, a lot of sleepless nights. And I think, you know, there was nobody there to tell me what I could and couldn't do. So I was just, you know, on my own, doing my own thing and not worrying about anything until, you know, that day when I was at UK.
Now, you did play some football again. You and I spoke a couple of years back when you were playing for the River Monsters. But in the trailer, you talk about that moment where you were injured in a game. What went through your mind in that moment? What was the first thing you thought of when that happened?
One was, oh, God, I hope my leg, I hope it's just a sprain. I hope it's just a sprain. But I can recall it right now. I'm rolling to my left, and I knew where he was going. I knew where the defender was going. I've always had that little, you know, just instinct of, I know where they're trying to hit me. Protect yourself. And I couldn't. I could not get low enough to protect myself. And he hit it. He broke my tib fib, snapped it right there. It took about 2 days later, by far, I said, you know, I'm done. I've got, again, I came back to my kids. You know, all of a sudden, Dad's laid up on the couch because he was too big and fat to protect himself. So they've got to take care of me. Just wasn't the sight that I wanted to see.
Jared Lorenzen, my guest. So that's what it comes down to. It keeps coming back to your kids. I've got to be there for my kids. I've got to be there for my family. So one of the people you talked to in the trailer is Dr. Philip Golea, and he's worked with everybody from Russell Wilson to Kim Kardashian and Kevin Love. He tells you that you're definitely looking at a door that says diabetes. What was your reaction when he told you that?
You know, he put it in the nicest possible way ever. He said, look, you're standing outside that door, and you could very easily walk in. As a matter of fact, I would expect you almost to walk in. He goes, what we need to do is we need to get out of that hallway and get you out of that house. And it was very point, very and what I love about what Doctor does, what Golea does, is he, as soon as you walk in, he pricks your finger, okay, let's find out where your sugar levels are. And I got all excited. I was like, you know, we're going through my levels, and, you know, my cholesterol is like, hey, man, your cholesterol is really low. Like, super low. I'm like, sweet, isn't that good? He's like, no, your sugar's real high, so you suck. And I'm like, all right. Thanks for that, Doc. But he's very straight up and very honest with me, and that's what I need. I need that, you know, that extra kick in the butt, and I think that's, you know, what he's doing for me. You know, we'll definitely get him more on camera, because he has just been, as straight up and as great as you can be.
Hey, listen, as somebody who's been an athlete your entire life, you understand this. The best thing about this, aside from the opportunity, is you've got this amazing team surrounding you with him and Gunnar Pedersen. So what then is your approach? How do you go about taking on this project?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I've got the support. I've got, you know, everybody on Facebook's been amazing. The replies that I've gotten, I mean, literally, Jim, 4,000 or 5,000 responses. There's been one jerk. And if you know anything about social media, they can be bad when they hide behind nameless names. But they've been great. So now it's on me. I'm going to approach it just like I would anything else. I'm going to dive full bore. It's the only way I know how to do it. You know, I'm treating it more or less as a season for me. You know, right now I'm doing my OTAs. So I'm a little behind the NFL guys, but I'm in my OTAs. You know, once we get this going in September 16th, that's kind of my preseason. And then we're really going to get full bore really quick. So, you know, I'm just going to go at it and see where the numbers lie afterwards.
Jared Lorenzen joining us for a few more moments. The fact is, it's more than 4,000 or 5,000 replies. As I mentioned earlier, you are a Kentucky legend, but you are loved around the country. The trailer has been viewed, the trailer, by nearly 600,000 on Facebook alone. So you're getting tremendous reaction. Now, back in the day, you used to have kids come up to you and say that they were inspired to play quarterback because of you, because you showed them that they could play the position that they wanted to play no matter what size they were. So is there a part of you now that feels like it's another opportunity for you to be an inspiration and a role model?
You couldn't hit the nail on the head any better than that. I mean, I still want those big kids to go out there and do what they want to do and still have the opportunity to play quarterback. But now I can also talk to them about, hey, guys, look, you're big. That's awesome. But let's be healthy about it, too. Hey, when we get home from school, you know, let's not have the brownies and stuff. Let's have carrots. Let's go outside. Let's not sit there and play in front of PlayStation and Xbox forever. Let's get outside and let's play, you know, tag football. You know, work on your craft. Work on, you know, your jump shot, whatever it may be. But I think those will hit, and especially the guys that are even my age now that have children that think, you know, well, I send my kid outside. Well, no, man, let's go outside with your kid. Let's toss the ball around. You know, let's kind of change the mind thoughts here.
That's it. All right, so when somebody reaches out to you and says, I weigh 400 pounds, I want to come on this journey with you, or I lost 118 pounds, stay with it, you can do it, what's it mean to hear those things?
It raises you up. It really does. I was terrified. And when I say terrified, like literally trembling when this came out, because I wasn't sure the reaction I was going to get. And to hear people say, you know, I've wanted to do it for so long, but I didn't know where to start. Hey, I'm 300 pounds overweight too. I need to get going, and this motivates me. And to have the other side, it's like you were saying, to have some Biggest Losers people reach out to me and say, hey, look, I did this. If I can do it, I know you can. If you need anything, here's my number. I mean, it has just been the best reaction I have. I can't thank everybody enough. It's been awesome.
I mean, Jared, you sound great. I know you can't give up too many details until the thing actually drops, but if people are interested and they want to watch it and they want to see it, where can they find it?
Facebook's probably the best way right now, just under the Jared Lorenzen Project. We're going to have We've been putting up videos probably every other day, every third day. We're going to have YouTube clips of, for me, my biggest thing is meal prepping and meal planning. So we've got chefs on hold there. We've got trainers on hold that are going to put up actual nutritional tips and workouts. So those are the two best. You can follow our website, which is nowletsgetfit.com. We've got every social media platform, so should be relatively easy to follow. And like I said, excited as I can be about it.
Good, man. That's great. Former UK legend. Well, current UK legend. Former NFL quarterback and a Super Bowl champion with a great process and a new journey. Jared, it is great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Good luck with that. And let's not go so long without talking to each other once again. In fact, I'll look for you soon.
Thanks, Jimmy. I really, really appreciate it.
You too, Jared. Great talking to you. Go get it. Jared Lorenzen. Such a good conversation. He's such a good dude. What a great athlete. But again, it can be so challenging. That story, there were so many different things to that he said that resonate with me. The fact that he went 10 years without stepping on a scale, you can imagine, right? I mean, if he had to sweat every tenth, every 2/10, every 4/10 of a pound, you can imagine that when his playing days were over, he did not want to get back on a scale. And if you see the trailer, and most of this was based off that trailer, when you see that trailer, and he said it himself, when he stepped on the scale for the first time in 10 years, he wasn't sure what to expect. And when that number exceeded 500 pounds, you could see that look in his eye, where he did just kind of gloss over. And now he's going to chronicle that journey. Jared Lorenzen, my guest. Your thoughts on that, your reaction to it. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones when we come back. Mike Gundy at the top of hour number three. I want to talk about the Cubs also when we return.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Reaction to Jared Lorenzen. He said it himself that when he started the process, he was terrified in a sense because he didn't know what the reaction would be. And when he says, I don't know what the reaction will be, he knows what the reaction will be. That you knuckleheads will go knucklehead and that you won't treat that thing with the kind of respect that it might deserve. But he did say that I got a lot of reaction and there was only one jerk. Well, I've seen a few jerks since the interview, as you expect. She's got nothing better to do, right? You've got nothing better to do than pile on somebody else. You know, which tells me that either your life is perfect and awesome, but then again, if it were, you wouldn't have time for something like that. So more likely your life is not perfect or awesome, and it's easy and convenient to pile on somebody like that. However, that's not all of you, luckily. A number of you did get it. Prano101 tweets, this interview with Jared is off the beaten path, but such an eye-opener. Great job. At Riddy Bad Luck 13. Great interview with the abominable throw man. Can't wait to check out the Jared Lorenzen project. I'll be rooting for him. And Neil Bradley tweets, good stuff on At Jim Rome. Related to everything. Been to the edge of 500. I'll be watching, rooting for you. At Biz 408 tweets, we appreciate you, Jared. Major love your way. So not everybody's coming in for some lame crack or some moronic blast. And the guy said it. You know, the doctor said to him, you're looking at a door that says diabetes. We got to get you out of this house. You don't want to walk through that door. And the man weighed 500 pounds. Jared Lorenzen, to me, you can see why people love him. He's got so much it, man. The guy's got a ton of charisma, obviously great athletic ability. Even in that play he was talking about, and it's hard to watch, but the play that he's talking about, I don't know what he weighed at that time, but obviously a lot, quite a bit. And this guy's still out of the pocket, rolling out, looking to make a play. And if they were saying things to him like, you know, at Kentucky, you don't play unless you're 268, and you don't play in the NFL unless you're 285. Years after the fact, when he made a comeback in minor league football, obviously he's north of 3, maybe pushing 3.5 bills. And my man is out of the pocket, rolling to his left, looking to make something happen. And the way he tells that story is, as an athlete and as a player, I always knew how to protect myself. I could always protect myself. But in that moment, I couldn't. And I knew at that point. I knew at that point that I had to stop. You know, the one thing that he didn't tell in that story that he does talk about in the trailer, when I said to him, what was the first thing that went through your mind? What did you think? What he didn't say on this show, but what he does say in the trailer is, how are they going to get me off the field? How are they going to get me off the field? Guys out there, like you said, with a broken tibia. My personal take, I think the guy's an awesome dude. I think he's a great guy. A really, really good dude who's dealing with something really, really challenging. This email says, Rome, hopefully I get red first, so I can pump the brakes for all those clones thumbing out fat emails. Sure, the dude has a, quote, personal appearance situation. But I would imagine that it takes some serious stones to talk about going from quarterback to silverback. Dude could still outplay half the clones, and we should give the guy the props he deserves. Shane and SLO. And listen, this guy doesn't have a, quote, personal appearance situation. He has a life-threatening situation. Quote, he's about to walk through the diabetes door. The guy was over 500 pounds. It's not easy to do. To chronicle something like that, to document something like that, to put that into a docu-series, That is not easy to do. He's putting himself out there. And I give him credit for it. Because he knows there's going to be lots of idiots that got nothing better to do than to jump on social media and hammer away and pound him. But luckily, there's plenty of others saying, hey, listen, I want to take that journey with you. I weigh 400 pounds. Let's do it together. Or others who have said, I've lost 100 pounds. I've lost 120 pounds. You can do this thing. I did it. You can do it too. And he's smart enough to know he's got an amazing opportunity with an amazing team that is surrounding him. And so he documents it. I'm looking forward to it. But again, I'm pretty happy with myself. I don't need to pile on somebody else or kill somebody else. Or go, hey, look at that guy, bro. That guy's awfully fat, Rome. Let's go to some convenient fat joke. That's just me. I have better things to do. A lot of you don't. So I give him a lot of credit for putting himself out there. I want to talk about Michael Bennett and the stand that he's taking right now. Something else that's going to aggravate a lot of you. We'll get to that story a little bit later on. Kyle Schwarber, the legend of Kyle Schwarber. You know, it may have been etched when he fought his way back from that catastrophic knee injury and he helped the Cubs win the series. But as impressive as that climb back was, look at the fall and look at where the Cubs are right now. Oh, and look at that shift last night that blew up in Joe Maddon's face. I have that for you. Bills fans, I want to talk to you in the next segment. Let's get into this. I tried to get to it yesterday, didn't have time, but I've got plenty of time for it right now. When we come back, I want to talk about the moves that they made. That's coming up next. I've got Mike Gundy coming up at the top of hour number three. With time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You want to prepare for your summer road trips. Time is running out, but before your travels begin, make sure you go by O'Reilly Auto Parts for a simple preventative maintenance to ensure a safe journey during the summer months ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know what I need? We've got our fantasy alert. Now I need like a serious take alert. Serious take alert. Yeah, when you're the genius, figure out how to make that thing work. Just so your clones know something's coming. Like an issue is coming. A serious take is coming. If I had that, I thought that was your fish alarm. I need a serious take alert. If I had something like that, I'd pop it right now and then give you this take. This is a huge Michael Bennett house. In fact, it's a huge Martellus Bennett house. This house is all about the Bennetts. How many other guys are going to come on this show and talk about their meals and then crack on Brandon Meebane for his breakfast order the way Michael did back in the day? So are you guys at your destination? Did you make it? Are you done?
Yeah, we just got to work, man. Had to get that good lunch in before we had to go to this meeting to talk about the Cowboys.
Real quick, what did you guys have for lunch? Real quick, what did you have for lunch?
I had a bagel with pastrami on it. It was good.
Good work, good work. Cliff, Brandon, what did you guys have?
What did I have? A breakfast sandwich.
I like it. I see you working.
He had an eggs, potatoes, and a side of French toast. I don't know who ordered a side of French toast. Who orders a side of French toast? I've never heard of that.
Michael Bennett cracking on Brandon Meebane back in the day. Or maybe it's because he's pretty much the only guy in the league who is willing to talk about his policy of no sex on Wednesday nights.
Now, what about that no sex thing on Wednesdays?
It gives me more power. I got a lot more energy after the game for my wife.
How does she feel about that no sex thing on Wednesdays?
I don't know. I never asked her. She just get used to it. I guess when she can go to the store and get what she wants, she's probably happy about that.
Yeah, and then Sunday nights, man. What's Sunday night like?
Oh, Sunday night, that's the big show.
Sunday night is the big show. So you're starting to get a sense of why this is a big Michael Bennett house. Or maybe it's because he compared one particular game to, well, I think I'll just let him handle that.
Aaron Rodgers says the best team lost today. That doesn't make any sense. When you lose, you lose.
How'd that make you feel when Aaron Rodgers came out and said, look, the better team did not win today?
If you were the best team, you would have won a game. You got to play all the way through the game to be a champion. You can't get ahead of yourself and think that you're going to win. You know, it's pretty, you know.
But the reason that I am Team Bennett is not just because Michael and Martellus are funny dudes and they say what's on their minds. It's because they think and they say what's on their minds. And what's on Michael's mind right now is what's happening in America. And the fact that he did not stand for the national anthem before that preseason game against the Chargers and does not intend to stand for the national anthem this season. And before you get all angry about this, listen to his thoughts behind that decision. Quote, Charlottesville had a lot to do with it, but I think it's just the journey of who I am as a person. I think everybody has a time where they feel like they need to be who they are and stand up for what they believe in. End quote. And then, before you crack on him for sitting and disrespecting the flag and the military, hear him out on that as well. Quote, first of all, I want people to understand that I love the military. My father's in the military. I love hot dogs like any other American. I love football like any other American. But I don't love segregation. I don't love riots or oppression. I just want to see people have the equality that they deserve. And I want to be able to use this platform to continuously push the message of that. End quote. Of course, he knows he's going to face backlash, but he's also willing to take that on. He's going into this eyes wide open. He knows what might come from it. End quote. I'm being vulnerable right now. There's a whole bunch of people sitting at home judging me, but they will never get to this point where they can be vulnerable. Let people attack me because they don't believe what I believe in. But at the end of the day, I'm being vulnerable to show every person that no matter what you believe in, keep fighting for it. Keep fighting for equality. Keep fighting for oppressed people. And keep trying to change society. End quote. So Bennett has been walking the walk in that department for quite some time, and he's just going to keep doing it. Another quote. I hope that I can activate everybody to get off their hands and feet and go out into the communities and push helping each other. Sit down with somebody that's the opposite sex. Sit down with somebody that's the opposite race, different religion, and understand that people are different and go out and join the community and try to change the society. Change what you're a part of. If you don't like it, keep changing it. End quote. So Colin Kaepernick may not have a gig right now, and we all know why he doesn't have a gig right now, but the conversation that Kaepernick started continues, whether people like it or not. So again, that's a guy. I like Michael Bennett a lot, always have. I like Martellus Bennett a lot, always have. But it's not just because these guys are funny and they say what's on their minds. It's because they think and then they say what's on their minds. Your reaction to it, 1-800-636-8686. It's not going away, and nor should it. And you're going to see more and more of that. And not just a guy who did it, but a guy who told you exactly why he did it and why he's going to keep doing it and what's going on in his mind. He let you know. Is it Josh in Detroit's day? Is it Josh in Detroit's hour? Is it Josh in Detroit's time? Yeah, not yet. Not yet. I said that I would talk about the Bills, and I will. And I said that I would talk about the Cubs, and I will. In fact, why don't we talk about the Cubs right now? Why don't we talk about Kyle Schwarber right now? The legend of Kyle Schwarber may have been etched when he fought his way back from that catastrophic knee injury, when he helped the Cubs win the World Series. But as impressive as that climb back was, I mean, the secret batting practice sessions, the detour through the Arizona Fall League, the 1,300 pitches that he tracked in the batting cage with just his eyes, all those things in order to come back to the World Series. Him hitting frozen ropes on one knee, a knee that was so jacked up that he couldn't even play in the field. Schwarber, the heart of the Cubs, did something way more impressive than all of that, and he did it over the past three games. My man went double golden sombrero. Double. double golden sombrero.
Here's the 1-2. Schwarber chases a low breaking ball, swings and misses strike three. Swing and a miss, strike three. The 0-2. Schwarber swings and misses strike three. He has struck out three times against Patrick Corbin. The right-hander fires. Strike three called and the inning is over. And the 1-2. Schwarber swings and misses. Off-speed pitch got him. Right-hander ready and the 3-2 on the way to Schwarber. Kyle swings and misses. Pitch down in the dirt. Schwarber strikes out. Full count on Schwarber. Here's a swing and a miss. Strike three.
2-0 Cubs at 0-2. Count on Kyle Schwarber. Runner at second, Anthony Rizzo. Here's the wind of the pitch. And a swing and a miss by Schwarber. That'll sit him down. He has struck out now 8 consecutive times.
Yeah, Kyle's had some struggles here as of late.
You think 8 straight K's, whiff after 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 whiff, a punch out streak that started on Saturday but didn't end until Monday, that spanned 3 games and 1500 miles. 8 straight K's, and he kept things rolling with a K in his first at bat against the Reds. It looked like he was locked and loaded for number 9. The count was full until a beanball let him off the hook. Hell yes, he was looking to wear one in that situation. Or willing to wear one in that situation. Probably looking to wear one in that situation. 8 straight. Yeah, I know. People want to talk about Schwarber slaying the Dragon and going deep against the Diamondbacks over the weekend in his first time back to Chase Field since he shredded his knee last spring. Heartwarming story? Sure. But anybody can hit a home run. Striking out 8 times in a row, try running that streak down. Nobody's breaking that. If you want to know where this Cubs season went wrong, just look at Schwarber's season. The guy went from the cover of SI, the heart of Theo's Cubs, to the heart of the lineup in AAA Des Moines before midsummer. And after 2 weeks on the farm trying to work out the kinks, he actually had improved, but now it's mid-August, and the guy that the Cubs thought would be among the best bats in the National League is still below the Mendoza line. That 3-game run, which featured those 8 strikeouts, actually did 0 damage to his .93 batting average. And I know the Cubs aren't out of it. They're never going to be out of it as long as they run the talent out there that they have and they're playing in the NL Central. But at what point do you wonder if this guy's heroic return for the Fall Classic may have actually done more harm than good, if possible? I mean, sure, it helped kill the curse of the Billy Goat. He brought home a World Series to the North Side, and he let all those aging hipsters in retro Cubs jerseys that were 2 sizes too small cry and hug it out in the streets of Wrigleyville. But he may have also put a permanent hole in his bat, a bat that was supposed to be an anchor in the Cubs lineup for years to come. This guy struck out in almost 40% of his at-bats since being called up. That's even worse than it was before he got sent down in the first place. But enough about that, because we all just witnessed baseball gold. Scratch that. Double gold. Because Schwarber might do a lot of magical things in his baseball career, but it will never be as magical as 8 straight punch-outs. So take a bow, my man. And then take a seat and let somebody who can actually get wood on a ball get an at-bat right now. And I don't care if they won by 10 runs last night. Not when even that game was marred by Joe Maddon's genius and a shift that should have never happened. That Joey Votto beat and made Maddon look bad. And he had to spend his entire post-game presser talking about why he did that and trying to defend why that was the right move. Something else he did. Back to the phones, and I'll finish my thoughts on the Cubs. I'm going to break that up. I've got 2 separate takes on them. But Schwarber struck out 8 times in a row. The double golden sombrero. Let's go to Las Vegas. Lou in Las Vegas. Nice to have you on the show, Lou. How are you?
Well, thanks for the time. I'm nervous. I don't call
my man, I'm putting you on hold. I want that phone call. I want to hear what you have to say, but the call quality is not good. So the sparrow is going to pick you up. What? That live sparrow was not very good. I'm off my game today. Sorry about that, Sparrow. All right, I'm going to try it again. Does he sound better now? Is that clear? All right, Lou. You're back on, Lou. Nice to have you. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound better now. You sound good.
All right. Thanks for the vibe. I'm a little nervous. I don't, normally call sports talk shows, but I just wanted to hand out props to Michael Bennett and Colin Kaepernick and any baller in the NFL who refuses to stand for this anthem, okay? It's not about the flag. We respect the possibility and the potential of this country, but the reality of it is that it was based and founded on the concepts of white supremacy, one. Two, the very idea of standing for a national anthem that was written by a slave owner should be repugnant to anybody, especially someone black. And that's pretty much all I have, Ron. I'm out.
All right, Lou, thank you. I'm sure that will inspire some reaction. You can go ahead and react to that. I'm going to go back to what Michael Bennett said, and he laid it out very clearly. He explained what he was doing. He understands what the reaction is going to be. He understands that a number of you think that he's disrespecting the flag. He understands that a number of you think that that stand in and of itself is anti-military. And he's saying, look, it's not. He said, my father is in the military. I love the military. Yeah, but if you're not going to stand for the anthem, that's anti-American. He said, that's not true. I love hot dogs like any other American. Yeah, but what about the game? What about the opportunity? Why do you need to show that in such a manner in that place? What about the opportunity you have? His response to that is, I love football like any other American. The reason he's doing it, in his words, is he loves the military. He loves this country. He loves football, but he does not love segregation. He does not love riots. He does not love oppression. He does not love a number of things that he's seeing, and he's trying to make a point of it. He's trying to point to those things and saying, we've got an issue. We've got a problem. We need to address this. We need to talk about this. We need to change this. And this is my way of doing that. This is my way of impacting that change. And of course, the flip side of that would be, yeah, but that's not the place. Yeah, but if that's not the place, what is the place? And this goes back to Colin Kaepernick. A number of you said at that time, there are better ways. There are other ways. And my response was, okay, which ways? What's a better way? What's another way? Well, he could write a blog. Was writing a blog going to generate that kind of discourse? Was writing a blog going to generate that kind of dialogue? Of course not. Of course not. And that's what Michael Bennett's saying. Why is this not the right manner? Why is this not the right time? Why is this not the right place? I have a platform. I'm going to use that platform. And he's not the only one. Marshawn Lynch also did not get up for the national anthem. Now, Marshawn Lynch says, this is nothing new. I've been doing this for 11 years. That is new to me. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had been doing that for 11 years. But he says that that's the case. The difference with Marshawn Lynch, and I would love to know what he has to say about that. And I'm not challenging him either. I just would love, look, I'd love to know what Marshawn Lynch thinks about a lot of things. He doesn't talk to the media. Michael Bennett will. You ask Michael Bennett a question, he'll give you an answer. But they're not the only ones. We're going to see more and more of this. Personally, I think it's a good thing. 1-800-636-8686. Your thoughts. Obviously, it's a very polarizing topic. Your thoughts on that last call if you want. When we come back, I've got an interview, though. Mike Gundy, the head football coach at Oklahoma State, is going to join me. That's the top of hour number three. And then we've got time for phone calls on the back end of that. I still want to talk about the Bills. I want to talk about Joe Madden's shift that blew up in his face last night. And even Game of Phones. Heyo, did it again. Dante Jones goes ultimate troll yet again. I'll get to that story next hour. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome, and this is CBS Sports Radio.